Want to take drugs, do things in their own life. It's not much for me to condemn them. Why in God's name would you get someone to videotape it?
Who knows, there might be five Ashes tests played between Sydney and Melbourne.
If there's any race that should be the race of champions, it should be the Cox Plate.
No disrespect, but there's C and C graders who will help a good team, but they're not going to, you know, take the team to the promised land.
And he should go to Carlton, and they should just give Fremantle pick six and we should just move on.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Wednesday Pool.
Let's welcome in the team. Before that, Mikey Vallisaris, I just need a quick tip in the basketball because I like Brooklyn at 205 against Milwaukee at $1.80.
Yep, championship night, so they get their rings tonight.
Yep.
I like Brooklyn as well, $2.05. Okay. No Irving, so that's an easy situation there.
Patty Mills will dominate in his first match for Brooklyn.
Built for this situation. He's just going the perfect situation for himself.
He's just going a little bit differently these days than his Aussie counterpart, Benny Simmons. Let's welcome in the team for the Wednesday Forum. It's a very good morning to you, Mark Waugh.
Gareth, Whitey, good to speak to you guys. Big week of racing just gone past and a huge 3 or 4 days coming up too. Looking forward to it.
Yep, can't wait. Whitey, hello to you.
G'day, Gareth.
We'll talk about the racing a little later on, because I want to get Mark's thoughts on Everest Day.
We need tips.
Yeah, we need tips. Kim's got a few big chances there today, but Mark went too.
Yeah, last week, my three tips were washed out.
Yeah, no. I woke up on a Thursday morning and it was like Santa Claus didn't arrive. I looked at the scratchings and they were all out. I thought there was a couple of wet trackers there, Mark.
Well, we knew it was going to rain. It was a heavy 10, so we didn't want to drive 6 hours in a float. And as it turned out, the race got called off right when they needed to be for our scratching. So, yes, anyway, we can find another winner, I'm sure.
Have you ever participated in being the float driver, Mark? I can't quite picture that yet. I thought you would hire a truck driver. Have you?
Yeah, no, we've got our own float, three-horse float, and then we've got a truck as well. So I can't drive the truck, but I've driven the float, yes, indeed. Yep. On the odd occasion.
Any pressure when you've got some expensive cattle in the back?
I did have a little dingle one day on the way to Musselbrook with a horse called Harry Hotspur. I was driving and this guy pulled up straight in front of me, just clipped him, and actually didn't affect the horse Harry Hotspur. He went on to win the Denman Cup at Musselbrook. So that was a little scary moment.
There's been some ripper stories told on this show how some of the floats are broken down and then they had to call their mate who's down the road to stop on the side of the road to put the other horse in the float and they just make it to the races. But
I'm better at going forward than backwards too. I'm not a great reverser.
I could just imagine. Let's touch on the cricket. I also want to get your thoughts, June. I didn't put this into the rundown on Ben Simmons as a fellow Aussie, just to... I'd love to get your opinion on what's been happening over there in America at the moment, because he is dominating the sports news in the States with the NBA about to kick off for another season. But let's talk some cricket, because the T20 World Cup starts this weekend. The Aussies take on South Africa. But our big concern, Junior, is David Warner. We need to back him in, I guess. But he is horribly out of form. And when you watched him go out first ball in that practice match against New Zealand a couple of days ago, he just looked like he is a man with no confidence and he just basically doesn't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, and it's probably not just David Warner. I'm probably more worried about Aaron Finch as well, because I haven't seen any good form from him for a long time. He's returning from an injury. And in this tournament, the power play, the first six overs, is going to be so important, because that new ball is probably going to be the easiest time to score. Some of these pitches are going to get pretty dry and fairly slow, especially those day games. So you've got to cash in early. So Finch and Warner, we need them to start to fire up. Look, they're both tremendous players, got great records, but T20 cricket is the hardest format to find your form if you're a batsman, because you don't get any time. If it's a 50-over game, you can sort of work your way into the innings or a test match, but T20s, you've got to get going right from the first ball. So this practice game against India tonight is going to be vital for both those players. Hopefully they can get some runs and get some confidence going.
Whitey, what do you do there? You're a little bit nervous. Yeah, Aaron Finch had that injury setback, so he hasn't played much cricket. Dave Warner got dropped from his IPL side. In fact, he didn't even make the squad of 17.
Yeah,
Concluding stages of that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, as Mark said, the problem is that he hasn't got much time to find his form back. And in T20 cricket, in those first six overs, it's not like you can sort of spend half an hour sort of scratching around and trying to build in innings. It doesn't happen like that in T20 cricket. But they've picked him, so they've got to play him because they picked him. So I think they've got the game, and when I say picked him in the squad. So as Mark said, there's the game tonight against India. Hopefully he goes well there. Even if he doesn't, I think he's got to start the series or the tournament in the team. And, you know, at least Finch got some runs, Mark. I mean, he didn't look great, but he got some runs in that first game against New Zealand. It's going to be down to, I reckon, their bowling to be competitive in this tournament because there's a lot of holes in the batting outside of probably Maxwell and Mitch Marsh at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. Look, I think that they'll definitely both start, Finch and Warner, but I don't know how long the selectors will persist with them if their form continues. Look, there's other options. You know, you could open with Matthew Wade or Stoinis.
Yes.
Easily. Those sorts of guys, Josh Inglis, could open the batting. So there's plenty of options. That's a good thing. But, yeah, we need our top order firing because that's going to be pretty much a vital component to going a long way in this tournament.
And I think that's the really good point is that they can mix and match because they've pretty much got a whole squad of openers.
Yes.
So Stoinis bats the best when he's opening the batting in the Big Bash. Middle order's always been an issue for him. He chews up too many balls. Inglis could go there. Mm. Clearly Wade could go there. So there are options there if they want to go down that path.
So it's not like in previous years we've relied heavily on Warner and Finch in this format of the match. So when does Justin Langer Jr. have to be brave in a way? If Warner makes a duck, say, against South Africa, or he makes a duck even against India in this practice match, and he struggled in the IPL and he's got no confidence, does he be brave then, JL, and say, OK, let's play Stoinis or let's play Wade at the top of the order?
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, guys like Warner and Finch, they've got so many runs in the bank and you know they can do it at the top level and their record says that. So they'll probably get a bit more leeway than other players, but you'll want to see something, whether it's in the nets or just their attitude, their general attitude. Are they up for the game or are they wandering around a bit downhearted and lacking confidence? That's going to be a call only the people over there can make. But, yeah, let's see what happens, unfolds tonight. And then I think they'll play the first game against South Africa. I've got no doubt about that. But they'll want to show some form pretty quickly, I reckon.
From a selection point of view, as being a national selector as you were, mate.
And the very best, by the way.
Best too, one. Yeah. But I would imagine it makes it harder that there are question marks on both openers. When there's always been a question mark on one, if the other's doing really well, you're more likely to keep with the one that's struggling because he's got the support around him. But when both have got some sort of holes in their preparation, I can imagine it make it a bit harder from a selecting point of view.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, ideally you want one out of the two playing well and then the other batsman can sometimes feed off the guy that's in form. So, look, it can change very quickly. You know, we're assuming they're not going to score runs tonight or in the first game. It only takes a couple of balls to get you going in this format of the game and all of a sudden they click into gear. So I guess what they don't want is both the openers chewing up balls and then getting out. If they're going to get out early and quickly rather than just, taking up, six or eight balls and you're out for two. You can't afford that in T20 cricket. So, I think they'll play their shots. I think that's the best way forward for both Finch and Warner to go out there and be really aggressive. Just back yourself, back your instincts. And, I think that's the way they can get out of this hole.
Just with our top order. So does Marsh, does he have to bat at three the way that he started against New Zealand with that six off his first ball? You'd think, well, Mitch, this is your time to shine. And then Maxwell at four, surely. And then Smith gets a game and he plays as if they lose early wickets, he can make his 40 off 34 or 35.
It's exactly what Mark said a couple of weeks ago is probably what is going to happen. And I think, Mark, the point that you made before, which I think is really relevant for Mitch Marsh, is that you need to get runs early when the field is up and the ball is hard. So I think you've got to try and get Marsh in as quickly as possible to be able to get Australia off to a fastish start before it becomes almost like survival of the fittest in the last sort of 7 or 8 overs.
Yeah, I think Marsh will bat three. I think he has to. He's in such good form. I've mentioned it before. I think Smith will float around the order. He could be a vital player if you're chasing a tricky 120 or a 130 on a turning wicket. He's going to be the guy that could possibly hold, the innings together. So I see Steve Smith playing a role, not probably as a power hitter, but as someone who can guide you through, troubled waters in a sticky run chase. So I think that's going to work all right. I think the players are used to chopping and changing and floating in the order, but I've got Marsh at three and I've got Maxwell at four, then probably Smith at five, but that could easily change. But I think that's you've got to start with Marsh at number three.
Who's our most important player? Is it Mitchell Starc, or do you think, will he be effective under the conditions that he'll find himself in during this World Cup, or do you think the spinners will take over in this tournament, Junior?
It's a tricky one because we saw the pitches at the back end of the IPL really slow up and spin.
Yeah.
So, look, I see Maxwell as a key player. We always say it, but I think it's his turn to come of age. You know, he can hit you 50 off 20 balls and win you a game on his own bat. So I've got him down as a key player. Plus he's fielding, plus he can bowl your four overs of off-spin. So I've got Maxwell as your key. Mitchell Starc has been really good in previous World Cups, T20 World Cups. I'm not sure if he's quite at the peak of his form, but with that new ball, I think he can swing it and get early wickets, and then he's pretty good at death with his Yorkers. I think they're probably two of the keys. But having said that, you know, if one of the spinners, even a Mitch Swepson, I think they'll look at him playing him at some stage because he's the biggest spinner of the ball. You know, Zampa and Agar tend to bowl pretty straight at the stumps, not huge turners of the ball, but Swepson's a guy that can really spin it. So don't be surprised if he plays a role throughout the tournament. But, you know, and you've got Mitch Marsh as well, obviously. Hazelwood's the big find. I mean, he's the guy that you would least expect to be an effective T20 bowler, and he's been in great form in the IPL.
Swepson's Whitey's man.
Hey. I love Mitch Swepson. I love him in red ball cricket.
We need to move on from the T20 World Cup. Time flies. It's already 10:46. Who are the two sides that get out of the groups? So we'll start off, is it Australia and England, Australia and the West Indies, Whitey?
England and the West Indies.
England, West Indies. What about in the other group? Can you trust Pakistan?
No. India and someone.
I've got a feeling Pakistan might do something special in this World Cup, Junior. I have them getting out along with India, but who knows with them? But I've just got a feeling about Pakistan.
I don't think their batting's got enough depth.
Yeah.
And I think their fielding and running between wickets is not as good as other countries. So I haven't got them. I've got India definitely going through. I think Australia will go through. And then, you know, New Zealand and England. West Indies, I don't know. They just look a bit old and slow to me, a lot of their players. I know they've got some talent. Evan Lewis is a tremendous striker of the ball. But Gale's way past his best, so I hate to say it. And Andre Russell, he runs around like a 10-year-old trotter. He's got that much gear on his legs. He's dangerous, but
he's got the pole on him.
He doesn't move that well, so.
He's got the pole on him and the prigger, poor old.
Put him in a claimer.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd go good in a claimer.
It wouldn't be bad if you claimed him from your park cricket side. So they've got a bit of like the Chicago Bulls, The Final Dance, or whatever that documentary was. Yeah, the last dance there for the mighty West Indies. Whitey, some other cricket stories or points that we need to have a chat about. Cam Green, you're concerned about him being caught in front all of the time,
yes.
LBW.
Now, he had two bad LBWs in the last game, particularly the second one. But I'm just interested, Mark, I mean, of what you've seen of him. Is there a potential technical flaw that he just keeps getting hit on the pads? I mean, it even happened in some of his games for Australia in Test cricket where he sort of just props on that front leg a little bit. Have you noticed anything that he might need to look at?
Look, I think he's a great talent. I'm so much looking forward to see how he does progress this season. But the thing is now, a lot of the bowlers are going to know about his potential weaknesses and how he plays.
Yeah.
You know, when you first come on the scene, no one really knows you, and it takes a while for bowlers and opposition to work you out. But look, I think it's probably going to be more, it is part technical issue as well. He just sort of plants that front foot there. Being a tall guy, he's not really that nimble on his feet. So, you know, he's planting that front foot there and playing around that front pad. And it's also going to be a mental issue now. He's going to be thinking about it all the time. So it's going to take, a clear mind and just a slight technical change up with his front foot, not committing too far across too early. So it could get worse, or it could change quickly, you know, for the positive. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it, because the bowlers are going to be pitching up and bowling at the stumps early on against him now.
Yeah, so two more quick ones. Firstly, Usman Khawaja, he got the big 170 on difficult-ish type of conditions at the Adelaide Oval. Would you go back to him if you had to, or if he kept making runs, or are you going past Uzi now and going to the next generation?
No, look, normally I'd say you probably go past him, but I think with the lack of depth in that opening spot, I think you've got to think about him. He's age 34. We know he's a class player. He made that 174 in the Shield match. I mean, what's the other options? You've got Marcus Harris, who's hasn't played yet, but he is going to play, you know, these three Shield matches end of October, back-to-back, a couple of them. He averages 23, hasn't really, in Test cricket, hasn't really stamped himself. You've got Pekoski, who would be a walk-up starter, but once again, he's got concussion issues. That's about it. Joe Burns, you're not going to get back to him. So Khawaja finds himself definitely with a chance, given, you know, the lack of other, I guess, guys knocking down the door.
Yep, and I agree with you. Tony Dottermaid, the new Australian selector. So former CEO of Victorian cricket, WA cricket. It was a bit from left field. We spoke to him on our breakfast show this morning. He's pretty keen. He's really up for the challenge of it. You know what it's like to be a selector. What are your thoughts on Tony Dottermaid getting the job?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know who was in the running. Well, you know, whether it was a strong field or there wasn't many candidates. I suggest there probably would have been lots of candidates. What is he, 58 years of age? I suppose that's the only question mark. You know, maybe I thought they might have went for a younger selector, given that, you know, the way the games are changing, the different formats. But, you know, he's got great knowledge. He's well-respected. As you say, he's been involved in cricket, even though he's with Hockey One at the moment. He's been CEO of Victorian and West Australian cricket for 13, 14 years. So he's been in touch with the game. So it's not like he hasn't been watching any cricket. So, look, I think he'll do a great job. He'll be dedicated. And at the end of the day, you're only as good a selector as the players perform on the field.
Right.
So
that's what the selectors
they can make you look good or bad. Yeah. That's the thing. But I'm sure he'll do a pretty good job.
9 minutes to 11. This is the Wednesday Forum. Gareth Hall, Mark Waugh and Adam White with you. We'll talk some racing coming up next, including a few tips from Junior as well.
Your chance to be involved. The Wednesday Forum.
Plenty of questions coming through. We'll get to your questions in just a moment here on the forum, 0416 90 50 52, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. Mark Wall, Gareth Hall, Adam White with you. Junior, did you enjoy Everest Day? What was it like to head back to the races?
Yeah, it was great. Amazing. I was lucky enough to be up in one of the restaurants, but had a perfect view of the track and the noise and the atmosphere for the Everest and the Kosciuszko as well was so loud, even though there's only 10,000 there. Geez, it felt like there's a lot more. And the racing, I mean, those two races, the Kosciuszko and the Everest, was a head in the finish. You know, a couple of classic races as well. Good day.
So there was 10,000 there, and Channel 7 did a great job covering the races, but they made it look like there was about 100,000 there. Everybody looked like they were having a pretty good time there on the front lawn, Junior.
Yeah, well, I mean, the front lawn was packed. So, I mean, you had most of your crowd in certain sections of the racetrack. So that made it look, you know, obviously a lot more than there was there. There probably might have been a few more than 10,000 look like it. But, you know, they were so noisy and up for it. The younger crowd, particularly down the front on the lawn near where the horses were, which at times was a little bit dangerous with what was going on there. But the atmosphere, you know, it felt like there was 30 or 40,000 there, to be honest.
I'm not sure whether I should ask this question, but I'll ask it anyway. And I want you to answer it honestly. Down here, where we always talk about the Everest and how it's trying to take over the Caulfield Cup. But I must confess, down here, most racing fans enjoy the Everest and enjoy the Caulfield Cup. I'm just interested, as a Sydney side or a New South Welshman, has the Everest meant that you've had less interest in the Caulfield Cup, or do many people care about the Caulfield Cup in Sydney?
Well, my honest answer from my point of view is I think it's a shame. You know, you got two great races on the same day because the Caulfield Cup got very little airplay up here, and to be honest, you wouldn't have even known it was on unless you're a real race goer. I mean, I love both races, so I think there's, to me, it's a little bit frustrating that you've got two great races on the same day because they do take away from each other, I think, a little bit in that regard. So that'd be my honest answer. Put in a perfect world, you'd have them on different Saturdays, but, you know, I don't make those decisions, but I enjoy both races. I mean, the Everest is only getting bigger and better. There's no doubt about that. But the Caulfield Cup's always been a special race as well, and it definitely took a back seat up here anyway, for sure.
Like Peter Vallandis, when he has a vision, he just goes straight after it, really, because you looked at Melbourne and you wake up on a Saturday morning, Junior, and the papers, the front page papers, he purchased advertising space for the Everest in Melbourne papers. In fact, he did it all around the country. So from a marketing point of view, he made sure that he let everybody know that he thought that the Everest was the biggest race in Australia on Saturday.
Well, it's even going close to the Melbourne Cup now, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, the media focus and attention and the airplay it gets on radio and the newspapers, you know, it's taking over. I mean, it is a great race in its own right, isn't it, Everest? And, you know, you've got to give Peter Vellante's credit for putting the show on the road and keep boosting it up. So I guess it's up to, you know, Victorian racing to match that whatever way they can. So in the ideal world, you probably wouldn't have them on the same day, but I think that's the way it's going to be, so we're probably just going to have to get used to it.
For mine, I love the story of Incentivise, however, Junior, and he gave me goosebumps. Like, he was still the star of the day there on Saturday to do what he did in a Caulfield Cup, but only his 11th start, his third straight Group 1 since coming to Melbourne for Peter Moody. Do you think he just wins the Melbourne Cup? Do you think he stays 2 miles? No.
Well, he would have won the Cox Plate, wouldn't he, I reckon, if he'd been in...
You would have backed him up, Junior.
Oh,
Kim being the old trotting trainer, she definitely would have backed him up within a week.
He's just a freak, isn't he? I mean, that win was just out of this world. You won't see a better win than that. So if he goes anything like that, he'd have to win the Melbourne Cup. He would have to win it.
Yep.
You know, he looks like he'll stay all day, so... To be a brave man to bet against him, that was just a phenomenal win. And you're right, the attention it got was... It probably would have been greater if the Everest wasn't on, but still, it held its own. It was a freak race, freak performance.
Were you surprised, or do you think Greg Carpenter got it right when he gave him an extra kilo and a half for the Melbourne Cup? I know you love the handicappers.
It won't stop him, will it?
No.
I don't think it'll stop him. I mean, I suppose, yeah, I mean, I don't know whether that's... too much or not enough. I'd say it won't stop him, but it'll slow him down a little bit. But he had to get some penalty, didn't he? With the way that he won the race. So yeah, we'll see. But I don't think it's enough to stop him.
The WS Cox Plate on Saturday. It's going to be a great race. I think it has it all this year. The Cox Plate. It has Saki, who's been the wait for age star for a little while now in this country. But I think the best thing for the race. And this is unfortunate for the Saki connections that he was defeated their last start at Caulfield. You got some star New Zealanders with some X factor there. You got some three-year-olds like Adamo did something out of this world to win a Caulfield Guineas. He's highly rated for a race like this. Then you've got the international horses as well. So I think it's got a very elegant. Can she bounce back? I think it's got a wonderful mixture this year, the WS Cox Plate.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, and probably track conditions could play a part. What are we looking at? 5 to 10 mils on Friday, 5 to 8 on Saturday.
Yep.
That was the latest last night I saw. So, you know, you might be, you know, swooping down the middle of the track by the Cox Plate. You don't know, but you're right. All those factors you said make this so interesting. I mean, Zaki and Very Elegant, you got to forgive Chop Horses one bad run. And, you know, Very Elegant's probably the one that's over the odds at the moment, $6 or $5. You know, she's a champion mare. Yeah. You know, forgive her run, and she's got to be right. And Zaki, we know, is an excellent, very, very good horse. One bad run, or sort of bad run. You've got to forgive him. And, I mean, Animo, Castle Vecchio ran second, didn't he, as a three-year-old? And I think Animo's probably, I think he's a bit better than Castle Vecchio, so he's got to be a great chance. And I think Gold Trip,
the
import for Australian Bloodstock at... you know, he's an interesting runner, isn't he? Ran fourth in the arc. He's run some great races in top races. So, and then even Moanga at $13, probably, you know, around that $17-$15 mark. Geez, they're all in the chance. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
If it's wet, I think Gold Tip's a great chance there on Saturday. I even give the Joseph O'Brien Galloper a massive chance there on Saturday as well.
Yeah, you've done well there, Gareth. You've pretty much named the whole field.
Yeah, well, it might be one of those situations. Like, Very Elegant's into $5 today.
Was that's eights into fives, isn't it?
Yeah, so Saki, $2.60. Gold Trip, I should say, at $9.50. You got Moanga at $14. Very Elegant, this has been a big go, $5. Animo, $5, who's been a drifter. And even Captivant has to be a small each-way chance at $19. Just with Very Elegant, Junior, I think the most interesting comments that I've heard about her chances on Saturday was on this radio station with Kieran Maher yesterday. And Chris Waller's been up front saying that she was a little bit flat, her bloods weren't quite right. And Kieran pointed out that you can do all of the tests, she could be as bright as a button, she might be eating well, but until they race and are under pressure, you don't know how much that virus has taken out of her.
No, that's exactly right. You know, I wish horses could talk, but they can't. But, you know, you've got to go off your indicators like the feed bin, the bloods. They give you
they give you some idea of if the horse is at 100% or 95%, but until they get under race day pressure, you just don't know how much it's going to affect them. But Chris Wallace says that she's come through the run really well. She's better than what she was going into that race. And at the top level, it only takes you to be a fraction off your game and you get beat. So if she's back to her best, she's licking the bin out, her blood pitch is good, then, I think the only question mark, I guess, is the Valley, but the camber of the Valley might actually help her. You know, she might be able to roll around that camber and it might even make her a better horse. So, yeah, she's very dangerous.
You've got Saki, who needs to bounce back. I think he'll start longer than $2.60. I'm a fan of State of Rest. I can't believe he's $11. I think he's a better chance than Gold Trip. But if the rain does come, Gold Trip does handle those conditions better than State of Rest. Well, that's what the European form or the international form tells us. And Adamo's at $5. The question mark with Adamo, Junior, do you think he will get a strong 1,600 metres?
A strong 1,600, but I don't know if you get a strong
2,000. I apologise there. He did get a strong 1,600. Will he get a strong 2,000?
I think you've got to have a crack at it. I mean, you don't know. He hasn't been in the Valley and hasn't run further than 1,600. They're the two unknowns. But, the way he races, his racing pattern, 49.5 kilos, he's got a lot of class. He is a good horse. So I wouldn't say no. I mean, you don't know till they do it, and that's probably why you're getting $5 or $6, because he hasn't got the 2,000 metre box ticked. But the way he races, he relaxes well. He's got a tricky draw. That probably hasn't helped. Barrier 10, he's probably going to be back last, so he's going to need the right card into the race. But if he does get the 2,000, he'll be hard to hold out with 49.5.
Now, we need some money for the weekend, Junior, because, of course, we've got Manukato Stakes Night Friday night and then Cox Plate Day on the Saturday, and you've got a horse by the name of Conrad that you scratched the other day, goes around in the second race on the Kensington track. Alicia Collett rides. Impressive first start. We can get $3.80. Are we betting?
I'd suggest just watch him go around today.
Okay.
It's just been a bit of a hiccup this prep. He won first up, then he's had a little issue, which means there's been a gap between runs. We haven't been able to trial him because there's been trials called off. The race last week was probably a better race for him over 1,200. Today's 1,400. But we had to run him because he's in the Four Pillars race on Saturday week. So we had to get a run into him. And he's had one jumped out very good on the course proper. But I guess 1,400, look, he could win on class. But, probably today we just want to see him race well and get through the run and then set him up for Four Pillars on Saturday week. But he is a class horse. He's a very smart horse, so he could still win.
Bubba goes around at Scone in the sixth race there in that class three.
Yeah, Bubba's in at Scone. And I think, Kembla Grain's acceptance is tomorrow, so we'll probably accept there as well. But she'll go well.
Okay.
First run for us, I think I tipped her last Thursday when the races were called off. But she'll go well. She's very consistent mare, so she likes to sting out of the track, so the wetter the better for her. She'll race well. And then I just saw the fields out for Randwick on Saturday. We've got Oxford Tycoon in race four in the Midway. He's drawn barrier 11 or 14, so that's going to make it tricky, but he'll race well. And then French Bonnet, last start winner. She won a midweek race there a couple of weeks ago. She's in race six in the 1,800, the benchmark 1,600. She'll go well. She'll be hard to beat, French Bonnet, in race six. So they've all got a chance. And then tomorrow the fields are out at Kembla Grange. Horse called Deal Street ran second last start at Newcastle. It'll be accepting for Kembla Grange on Saturday. So Deal Street, keep an eye out for it on Saturday as well.
We're on Deal Street, we're on Bubba, and we'll definitely back French Bonnet.
Yep. Tycoon will need a bit of luck from his barrier. So, yeah, hopefully we get a result somewhere.
It'll be a fill-up. Now,
bit there.
Yeah, what about your Cox Plate tip?
Oh, geez, how hard is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to just gamble on Animo. I love this horse, so I'm going to gamble on him, running a strong 2,000. But, I could have three or four other picks and be just as happy. But just for the sake of it, we'll go with Animo.
Few SMS is coming through. David Warner's not making any runs because he's too busy doing the form. He does love his horse racing, doesn't he, Junior?
Oh, you can do both. I mean, I did it my whole career. Watch the races. And
it's not that hard.
Played cricket.
Who's the value in the World Cup, Whitey? right now?
If we're, I've said it the whole way through. I think the West Indies are the value because they're so dangerous. I'm a bit like Mark. I mean, it's hit or miss. I don't think you just have them as your only selection. I think India are clearly the team to beat, and I'd have the West Indies as the
They're like the Harlem Globetrotters of West Indies.
Yeah, yeah, but they can get hot, and they've won tournaments. They've won World Cup tournaments before with the way that they play, and I kind of feel they're better than they were when they won last time. So,
Australia, no value whatsoever at
$8. I don't believe they're good enough. I don't think they bat well enough in T20 cricket to win.
Okay.
And they don't have that mystery-type spinner.
Yep.
They have reliable spinners, but perhaps not the ones that can turn games.
Hey, Junior, you over the Ben Simmons situation in America? He's
I'm not, mate. No, you pull
one out of the box.
You pull a Swifty on him, but
yeah, he's an Aussie.
I'm not over it.
He's Aussie there, Whitey.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he. I'm just. But yeah, I heard you talk about the Breakfast Club today.
So what's happened is he's turned up to training. He refused to get involved in drills. He had his mobile phone in his pocket while he was training. And the coach said, Ben, off you go. Go home. You're not interested. Off you go. And got fined as a result of it. Clearly, he doesn't want to play at the club. He's getting fined a lot of money at the moment anyway. It's using as a bit of a bargaining tool to go somewhere else. But one of the problems is there's no one else that necessarily wants him.
So the question for you, Junior, did anyone do that when you were playing professional sport? Say to the coach.
Shane Warne with John Buchanan on Buchanan. Commando camps.
No. He's obviously earning too much money, Ben Simmons, if he's doing that.
Yeah.
He's none of the cricketers did anything like that. So the answer is no. I guess he's the equivalent of our tennis player,
Kyrgios.
Tomic. Tomic.
Yeah.
Tomic.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to go to war with Tomic, unfortunately.
Earning too much money.
Yep. Hey, Junior, always a lot of fun, mate. Enjoy the cricket, enjoy the racing. And I'll tell you what, let's hope Kim has a fill-up this week because we will as well.
I hope so.
Good on you, Junior.
Good on you, boys. See ya.
There's Mark Wall. Whitey, enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank
you, Gareth. Breakfast Club's been sensational, 6 o'clock.
Turfy back in tomorrow.